Welcoming strangers, welcoming guests, welcoming brothers and sisters in Christ, whatever they look like and wherever they come from. In its February issue, the Lutheran Witness warmly welcomes readers to reflect on Christian hospitality, multicultural ministry, and other pressing issues facing the church today. Subscribe or read a free sample of the magazine at cph.org/witness. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran perspective. cph.org/witness.
We saw, right as the Supreme Court redefined marriage, LGBT activists pivoted from the LGB part of the acronym to the T part of the acronym.
1% of 1.2 million abortions a year is 12,000.
I would say there is no such thing as neutral spirituality. Even in the best of circumstances, if you take a classroom where God is not talked about, then that is a value.
The church belongs to Christ. It's not my church. It's not your church. It's not the culture's church. It's Christ's church.
Confessional Lutheran missionary campus pastors, love issues, etc.
It would seem strange to us today, especially in our American context, although if we were Christians in other parts of the world, it would not seem strange at all. But we look back to the apostolic era and we see of these apostles, men who spent a fair amount of time behind bars, we would say, in prison. Paul's an example. Paul and Silas are in prison in Philippi. Paul spends time in prison at least two other times, especially near the end of his life in Rome. Why so much time in prison for the apostles? He's not alone, of course. Greetings, welcome to Issues, Etc. Coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be teaching a Sunday school lesson on Paul and Silas in prison in Acts chapter 16. Pastor Tom Baker of Long Gospel will join us. After that conversation concludes, Dr. Jordan Wales of Hillsdale College will be our guest. We're going to talk about alt-right identitarianism. It's a long word. You usually just hear about the alt-right. If you've heard it and have no idea what people are talking about, at the end of our conversation, you will have a very good idea about what people are talking about, this identity movement that oddly has some things in common with the left, even though it calls itself alt-right. Joy Pullman will join us to talk about the Me Too movement and 50 Shades of Grey, a conversation about abuse, and that subject will carry over to a conversation with Holly Shear of the Federalist to talk about signs of domestic abuse. Feel free to join us with questions or comments. Our email address on this Tuesday afternoon, talkback@issuesetc.org, our Twitter address @issuesetc, and the Issues Etc. comment line 618-223-8382. Joining us to teach a Sunday school lesson on Paul and Silas in prison in Acts chapter 16, Pastor Tom Baker, host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, welcome back.
And a good day to you.
Why does Paul and in many cases the other apostles, why do they spend so much time in prison?
Probably because it's a fulfillment of a promise. What I mean by that, if you take a look at the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are those who are persecuted. Now, what way to be persecuted other than to be in jail for speaking the word of Christ? Then you have John 17, where Jesus is talking about those who are his followers. I have given them your word. That's God the Father's word. And the world has hated them because they are not of this world, just as I am not of the world. Now, each culture would be a little different, but at this particular time, though Judaism was recognized as a legal religion, Christianity was not yet recognized. And so they didn't have the protections that even the Jews had, Paul and Silas. And therefore, in that culture, you were even in more trouble, just as Christians today are more in trouble in certain Eastern countries than they would be in the United States of America. I can go on a corner and speak the word of God. You can have a broadcast in the middle of Illinois, and nothing happens to us. That wouldn't be true in certain other countries like Saudi Arabia, Syria, Iran, and so forth. The other reason is in John 17, God says that He is sending them into the world, and he asks that you keep them from the evil one. Now, you would think, well, isn't going to jail going to the evil one? No, no, not at all. Because as we're going to see in this particular event, God uses their imprisonment to bring a whole family to faith and probably a lot of other prisoners who heard Paul and Silas singing, etc. So it really doesn't matter under what circumstances the Christian is existing or living. What matters is that he takes the opportunity to share the greatest message the world has ever heard. And if people aren't going to converse with you, you can begin singing and they'll start listening to you. So we ought not be surprised in light of the promises of persecution that the world is going to hate us, that especially in that day, they spent quite a bit of time imprisoned.
What gets them in prison? What's the kind of the surface charge against them or circumstance that lands them in prison?
Well, money. What happens is, and this is really interesting because this incident happens right after they had been with Lydia. Remember, we talked about her last week. And as they were going to the place of prayer, and this is the same town where Lydia lived, they saw a slave girl who had a spirit of divination and brought her owners much gain by fortune-telling. Now, we need to look at that a little bit. The word divination in the actual Greek is puthon, where we get the word python. It's in Greek mythology the name of the Pythian serpent or dragon that dwelt in the region of Pytho at the foot of Parnassus in Phocis, and guarded the oracle at Delphi. And so you already have a connection to the serpent, who, of course, was what the devil was in the Garden of Eden. More importantly, it says that she had the ability to do fortune-telling. And that particular word, mantoiomai, means one who is able to act as a seer, deliver an oracle, or prophesy. Now, when I was growing up, I thought that anybody who would attempt to tell the fortune of the future would always be lying. But in Deuteronomy 13, God says this: if a prophet or a dreamer of dreams arises among you and gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or wonder that he tells you comes to pass, and if he says, let us go after other gods, which you have not known, and let us serve them, you shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God is testing you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Now, that's really important to understand today, because there are maybe prophets who are false, who can say things, and guess what? They happen. That is no reason to believe they are of God, because for some reason, God permits the devil to tell the future sometimes, and things really happen. And the word here where it says that God is testing you to know whether you love the Lord your God is the same word he uses with Abraham when he asks him to sacrifice Isaac. It even says God is testing him, same Hebrew word. And that's really kind of important as we understand that the word test means, okay, who are you really following? And I'm going to give you an example here of this woman who can tell the future, but you are not to follow her gods of the serpent, Python, but instead follow the Lord your God. So I think this is really important that in today's society, if you hear people telling the future and it's coming true, that is not a reason to follow them or their gods, because God just may be testing them. He's already giving you the whole Bible. And if what they are saying contradicts the Bible, then you are not to listen to them. Now, she ends up going around proclaiming that Paul and Silas are servants of the Most High who proclaim to you the way of salvation. And she does this for many days. But Paul, like Jesus, does not want to hear even the words of salvation from one controlled by the devil. So Paul becomes greatly annoyed, and then in verse 18 says to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her, and he came out that very hour. Now, a couple of things here, really important. He doesn't say, I command you to come out, like Jesus did. He says, I command you in the name of Jesus. And so Jesus, of course, is the reason that God takes that spirit out of that woman, and it comes out. But the owners are really perturbed, because she now doesn't have this evil spirit to tell the future, and they are going to lose their income. And that's why they seize Paul and Silas, drag them to the marketplace before the rulers, and they tell them, these folks are saying things that is not according to our custom or our practice. And the whole crowd joins in attacking them. Obviously, at this time, they did not know that they were Roman citizens. And they end up throwing them into prison. And it is in prison where the Philippian jailer comes to meet them. But while they're in prison, they are singing hymns. So that's the background for the meaning of the Philippian jailer.
I got a question before we take this break, and that is, and this seems to happen occasionally in Jesus' ministry too, when he encounters demon-possessed people, the demons recognize him for who he is, and they seem compelled to say it, to announce it. Sometimes Jesus allows them to announce it, and sometimes he tells them to keep silent. This girl, possessed by a demon, knows exactly what Paul and Silas are up to, that they are proclaiming a way of salvation to you. Why do these demons feel compelled to announce what is true about this, about Christ or about the apostles?
I would put what she is saying in the same category as that individual that Philip met, the Ethiopian eunuch. He was reading truth, but he did not understand it. Who is this man in Isaiah? He asked Philip, and Philip explained it to him. All she says is that these men are servants of the Most High God who proclaim to you the way of salvation. And you want a demon-possessed girl to explain the way of salvation? She's not going to be doing it correctly. The demon will say, well, that means to worship me, the demon, or to rely on your good works, or all kinds of things like this. And that was the same experience Jesus had with his demons, that they would say what appeared to be correct, but without the details that would bring a person to faith. And she never was mentioning them at all about Jesus as the Savior of the world who died on the cross for their sins. And so be quiet. It's better to have a false teacher be quiet, even if the outline of what they're saying is correct, if the details they're about to also provide are totally contrary to the Word of God.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. He's host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. When we come back, more of our Sunday school lesson on this Tuesday afternoon on Paul and Silas in prison in Acts chapter 16. After our conversation concludes with Pastor Baker, Dr. Jordan Wales of Hillsdale College will join us to talk about alt-right identitarianism.
It was Jesus Christ our Lord. Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago.
In Romans 15, Paul tells us, "Therefore welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God." But what does Christian welcome really look like? Find out this month in the Lutheran Witness magazine as we explore hospitality, diversity, and what these ideas mean for Lutheran Christians today. Subscribe or read a sample issue at cph.org/witness. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.
Many Lutheran pastors outside of the U.S. receive little or no seminary education. Luther Academy provides theological triage through conferences, books, and journals. Help support Luther Academy by making a tax-deductible donation at lutheracademy.com or call 260-452-2211. Serving Lutheran pastors to the ends of the earth, Luther Academy, 260-452-2211 or lutheracademy.com.
Casting Christ's net on the internet. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
People have confused pietism with piety and dumped piety along with dumping pietism. It's resulted in a real confusion about this.
Pastor Will Whedon, on his presentation at the 2018 Issues, Etc., Making the Case Conference, Making the Case for Godliness.
Any thought about dealing with how we actually live our lives is regarded as being, that's law, that's what we've been freed from, we don't have to think about that. Well, no, the whole point is, what does it look like to live with Jesus Christ having been crucified and raised from the dead?
You can meet and hear Pastor Whedon Friday, June 8th and Saturday, June 9th at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference in Collinsville, Illinois. Collinsville is 15 miles east of St. Louis. For more information, just look for the Making the Case logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, or call 618-223-8385. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson on Paul and Silas in prison in Acts chapter 16. Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. This is what Growing in Christ, the Sunday school curriculum from Concordia Publishing House, has to say. It says, out of this seeming tragedy of Paul and Silas ending up in prison, therefore, God brought an occasion of great joy. Freedom came out of prison, life out of death, and that is how Christ works. He takes the worst situations and brings good from it. His own crucifixion is everlasting testimony to the good that comes from bearing the cross, the kind of Christ-centered cross focus that you will find on every lesson of Growing in Christ for your Sunday school children. It comes from Concordia Publishing House. Call them during regular business hours. They'll send you a free sample. 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. Or browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand and look for Growing in Christ from Concordia Publishing House. So they are not just put in prison. They're put in the most secure part of the prison, which is significant for the latter part of the story. Before they get tossed in, they get beaten with rods. Pick up the story there, Tom.
Yes, it's important to understand that they were put into the part of the prison where it was both secure and painful because they were fastened with their feet in the stocks. But immediately they began praying and singing hymns to God. And I love verse 25, the end of it. And the prisoners were listening to them. Remember when that word came about in Jesus' ministry? He was on the Mount of Transfiguration, and God the Father said, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." Now, why is that significant? Because as Romans 10 says, faith comes by hearing the word of God. There is this a wonderful seminar where a number of the professors from St. Louis actually go through the entire Gospel of Mark, translated by James Veltz. And it's 2.5 hours in length. But the point they're making is that is how people came to know the Bible. Hardly anybody was able to afford a Bible to be able to read it, so it was always spoken. And people had tremendous memories so they could remember these items. And here, by singing, I'll tell you, that's really interesting. Now, I'm not much for the Mormon Tabernacle Choir in the sense because they're Mormons. But I was on my way to a church to preach early on a Saturday morning, and KMOX had a whole half hour of Mormon music and hymns, and they were very good Christian hymns. We sing some of them in our own church, but they do a marvelous job, and I just couldn't change the station because I was enraptured not only by the tune, not only by the orchestra, but also by the tremendous voices. And so we can see that even in hymns, particularly Lutheran hymns, you have a mini sermon. Take a look at the hymns of Martin Luther, which often characterize his own experience, knowing that he could not be saved by his works. And so when they're singing hymns, all of a sudden there's an earthquake. Doors are open. Everybody's bonds are unfastened. And the jailer, by the way, we never have his name. When he awakes, he knows that if the prisoners have escaped under his watch, he will be executed, so he's ready to kill himself. But Paul cries out with a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." And he falls down before Paul and Silas. It says, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved." Now, I want to take a moment just on that, because we hear this among evangelicals today, that if you want to be saved, just believe on the Lord Jesus. And they say it in a sense that all you have to do is you decide to believe in the Lord Jesus by your free will. But that is not what Paul means at all. He is simply making the point that the way one is saved is through faith in the Lord Jesus. But right after that, he doesn't say, so make an effort to invite Christ into your heart, or open the door of your heart, or some such nonsense. Listen to the very next words. "And they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in the house." And guess what? The entire household came to faith, not because of the faith of the father, but because they heard the word of God, and he and his whole family was baptized. And that's tremendous.
This is a stunning story, because here is a man who probably up to this point had no idea whatsoever of the gospel that these men were preaching. And yet he's in there, in that prison, hearing that word proclaimed in song, as you say, so that they can simply not only save his life physically, but save his life eternally with that simple question or that simple command, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes, when you folks go off the air, continue to play music all night. And it's more than just music, it's hymnody. And who knows how many people come to faith in listening to proper hymnody. I want to say one thing that I had not really noticed till I went into more depth here, that the jailer took them into his house and put food before them. So later on, I thought when the magistrates sent the police saying, let these men go, it meant that they could leave the city and leave the house. But guess what? They were not at the house anymore. They were back in prison. I never seen that before. I don't know if you have, Todd, or not. And Paul says to them, when he heard that the magistrate said you could let us go, wait a minute, they beat us publicly. We're Roman citizens. And now they want to get rid of us secretly? No, let them come and take us out. And that means out of the prison. And when the police reported these words to the magistrates, they were afraid when they heard that they were Roman citizens, because they had dealt with them in beating them and stripping them illegally. So they came and apologized to them, and they took them out. And in the case you're wondering, well, wasn't it out of the house? No, listen to verse 40. So they went out of the prison and visited Lydia. I never realized that before, that they went to the jailer's house, did the preaching, did the baptizing, and then they went back to prison. And why would they do that? They went back so the jailer would not be executed. Because if they were missing in the morning, wow. And none of the prisoners were missing. And that's possibly because they listened to their word and they came to faith. This is a marvelous thing we can get across to little children, that regardless of what you are experiencing, no matter how bad it is, God has a purpose. And be patient to see how he's going to use you in his purposes, as he used Jesus, the apostles, and now as he uses each of us.
Then finally, with about 30 seconds, what's the simple law and gospel of this story of Paul and Silas in prison?
The simple law and gospel is one that I think I have to figure out how to get out of my problems. And if I'm not going to get out of them, I might feel like, it'd be better if I were dead as a jailer. The gospel is, nothing happens to the Christian apart from God's will. And therefore, he has a purpose behind everything, and it will always work out for our good, even though we don't see the evidence of that right away. Because we don't live by sight, Todd. We live by faith.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, thank you very much for being our guest.
And thank you.
When we come back, it's time to talk about alt-right identitarianism. The first you've probably heard about, the alt-right, and maybe you have wondered, what is that all about? Identitarianism, a long word that needs a little explanation. There at its beginning, identity. Well, everybody's talking about their identity nowadays, aren't they? How does the alt-right use that term? Dr. Jordan Wales of Hillsdale College will be our guest right after this.
There are nearly 20 million college students in the United States. 40% will stop going to church during college. 50% will never return. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is seeking to meet this challenge through LCMSU. Why? Because 100% of college students matter to God and to His church. College is tough. You need Jesus. We'll help. LCMSU. Check us out at lcms.org/lcmsu.
Epiphany Lutheran Church in Door, Michigan gathers to receive our Lord's gifts in word, baptism, and supper every Sunday morning at 9:15, Bible study at 11. Join us at 4219 Park Lane in Door, or visit us on the web, epiphanydoor.org. Christ-centered, cross-focused, historic, confessional, liturgical, Epiphany Lutheran Church in Door, Michigan, epiphanydoor.org, 616-681-0791.
We have a special offer for first-time donors to Issues Etc. For any size gift during the months of January and February, we'll send you an autographed copy of Pastor Will Wheaton's new book, Thank, Praise, Serve, and Obey, Recover the Joys of Piety.
Make your first-time contribution online at issuesetc.org or send your check to Issues Etc., Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234, and we'll send you an autographed copy of Thank, Praise, Serve, and Obey.
An average of 20 military veterans kill themselves every day. Project Operation Barnabas is a network of LCMS congregations who reach out to veterans in their congregations and their communities with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Operation Barnabas is a program of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. Find out more at lcms.org/armedforces. Serving those who serve. LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. lcms.org/armedforces.
More topics, more guests, more Jesus. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Our school is committed to authentic Lutheranism, the entire Book of Concord, and indeed to authentic Lutheranism as it has continued to be confessed and practiced through the centuries right up into our own time.
Dr. Cameron McKenzie, chairman of the Department of Historical Theology at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
We're committed then to biblical, confessional Christianity and Lutheranism and applying it to the world of today in as effective a way as we can.
You can find out more about studying for the pastoral ministry at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, at ctsfw.edu, ctsfw.edu, or call 1-800-481-2155, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.